Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay one evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the words of the Lord for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Rejoice in hope.
Rejoice in hope. If you're in Texas, in Houston, or Louisiana, it might be a little hard to rejoice in hope, because what they have in front of them might be the loss of their homes, the loss of their jobs. They could be sitting in a city armory, thinking about how they're going to get back to their home and put their lives back on track. You see, the scriptures weren't written in times when there wasn't danger. The scriptures weren't written by people who weren't suffering horrendous things. In the first century of the Christian church and the centuries that followed, those early Christians faced horrible things. People killed them because they wouldn't renounce Christ as Lord. They couldn't find jobs because they wouldn't bow down to Caesar. They wouldn't worship the gods of the Greeks and the Romans because they were to have no God other than Jesus, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So we know that throughout humanity, there have been trials and tribulations. It seems so easy. I mean, you just roll those off, trials and tribulations. Oh, yeah, we do that all the time, trials and tribulations. How many of you have watched a news report of what's going on today, yesterday, over the last week? There was a video of a dog that had been left. Now, whether or not the owner left the dog there purposely or not, But the dog was stuck in the middle of a field, and it was flooded, and people went to rescue a dog. And they risked their lives to rescue the dog. And it's like, my goodness, what humanity does sometimes for humanity makes us special. Sometimes what humanity does to humanity and the creatures that we're to be good stewards of can drive you mad, make you furious. But that is life. And we're supposed to rejoice and hope in all circumstances. Now, that's not to say you're a Pollyanna when the world around you is burning up. But you rejoice because there's hope. And what is hope? The faith for things not yet seen. Faith is the hope for things not yet seen. And that even in the darkest of hours, we have faith and hope that Christ will prevail. And you and I will be in that kingdom. And there will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering. And until that day comes, we're going to trust in whom? We're going to trust in God. We're going to have faith in our Creator. We're going to have faith and hope in a God who, even though we don't understand what's going on, we have faith in Him. Now, how does this roll into those first few verses? Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Well, the word that Paul uses here is the Greek is agape. You know, you and I can have brotherly love for each other. When you're newly married, there's that bond, there's that love that's there. It's awesome, it's consuming, it's wonderful, it's beautiful. But the love that Paul is talking about here is a love that you and I can have for humanity itself, and that love that we're supposed to have for our brothers and sisters. And that's a love that's dependent not just totally on our own affections, our own desires, but is only made possible through the grace and mercy of God and the Holy Spirit. Because He comes into our lives when we allow Him to. And He gives us that ingredient that you and I just lack. It makes the love that we have for a brother and a sister, a spouse, even better. And this is the type of love that allows someone like me, who spent a number of years in the Navy, to walk up and get a hug from somebody who'd been in the Air Force for a while. Now, is that love or what? It's a love that transcends pettiness. It's a love that transcends hate. And just as we said last week, not to be conformed by the world, but to be transformed by the Holy Spirit, it's something that can transform even the best things that we have and make it even better. Because it's not us that's loving that person, it's us with the power and the grace and the mercy and that extra Holy Spirit love that even allows an old sailor and a old airmen share the same space, even for a short period of time. It's love. It's love. It's a willingness to do something, not because of what you're going to get back in return, but you're willing to do something because God commands it. Because Jesus Christ calls us to do these things. Love one another with mutual affection. Mutual affection. You know, when Jesus was quizzed by the Pharisees, they said, "What's the greatest of the commandments?" And, you know, "Rabbi, what's the greatest of commandments?" Well, they were looking to trap him. So he says, love thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, thy strength. And the second is no less than the first. Love thy neighbor as thyself. That mutual affection is when you love somebody. And there's only so much you got. And the Holy Spirit's feeding what you got into it. But he's also working on the other person. And when there's that mutual love that feeds into that, it's better than anything that you might have by yourself. We're better. Believe me, Terry has to put up with a lot. There's a whole lot of love that comes from that girl. And sometimes she smiles once in a while. This next one I love. Do not lag in zeal. What is zeal? I mean, get on the highest mountain and jump and shout and scream. Peter on Mount of Transfiguration, boy, he was up there. The Holy Spirit descended, the power of God, the glory of God descended, which transfigured Jesus Christ. And Peter and James and John are up there, and God, Christ is in His glory, in the glory of God, and they don't want to leave. Why? Man, they are up there. They are on fire, literally on fire. It's not 12 o'clock yet. Do not lag in zeal. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, when you allow the Holy Spirit to ignite a fire in you, that's why those candles are up there. And those are lovely flowers, aren't they? Those are the type of things that can ignite the realization of how great and glorious this world is that God has created, and that God has put you and I in here, and we're supposed to rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope in spite of all the dangers and all the trials and tribulations. We're supposed to rejoice. I'm not going to do cartwheels down here. Okay? But we're to rejoice. And when we come and we worship, think of the beauty of being in the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, that makes us better than we could ever be by ourselves. It's something more. And that's what He commands us to be and do. He tells us to persevere in prayer. When things don't look like it's delivering like we want, we persevere. What does that mean? We keep on praying. Push. P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. You keep praying. You persevere in prayer. Just because something doesn't happen doesn't mean that God's not going to answer your prayer or hasn't already answered your prayer. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's wait. And that's the toughest one to deal with, because I want to get that feedback. And we as a generation, we are so incessantly captivated and anticipating feedback. We want it immediately. Sweetheart, I love you. Now that I like. I read love in that. I don't know what you guys read, but I read love in that. We are so wrapped up in getting this feedback that's positive and instantaneous. And you know what? God's there. He sees what we're in. But sometimes we need to be left where we are so we can become what God wants us to be. Show me somebody who has never had a failure. Never had a failure. Everything's always gone their way. And I don't know if that person's strong enough to handle failure later on in their lives. Somebody who's suffered, tried, and failed. Read the history of Thomas Edison someday. You think that light bulb just worked? It didn't. I think it was his 1,000th or something attempt. Persevere. You think your prayer didn't get answered? Pray again. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. see, part of this, and probably the most important message, is that we're not in this alone. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We celebrate with those who are celebrating. We laugh and we smile with those who are having a joyous time. Boy, there was a lot of fun yesterday, right, Lee? A lot of joy. But that also means that we've got to be there in the tough times. We weep with them. Sometimes that happens. We rejoice in their rejoicing. And we weep with those that weep. And why? Because we love them. And it's a mutual love. And it feeds on the way the Holy Spirit inhabits the lives of all of us. And we're going to share in communion today. As a community, as a fellowship, as a brotherhood of believers and sisterhood. And we're going to receive the elements, the body which is given, the blood which is shed. And you know what? We're all going to eat from the same loaf. And that juice that's up there came from the same container. And we're all going to partake of that. Even though you're going to get a little tidbit, a little piece of bread, and you're going to get a little cup of grape juice. But it's all from the common. And here's the miracle. When we receive it, it's not just blood, it's not just bread, and it's not just grape juice. It's the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is given for us. It's His blood, which is shed for us. And we do that because He commands us to love one another with a mutual love and rejoice in hope. Rejoice. Hallelujah. In hope. Shalom. Our hymn of invitation is Where He Leads Me, number 338, Where He Leads Me.